Hello, welcome to the Type 1 Radio Lounge. We're back live for the first time in some considerable amount of time. We've all been busy, we've all been doing various other things, but we did want to do and didn't want to do, and that's just how it goes sometimes, is it not, Sonic and Swami?
Yes. And welcome to the brand new feature here on Type 1, where Sonic plays the music in the wrong gear. So that's, you know, that's something new.
That's because I was playing your
album. It's kind of like playing your albums at 45, you know, back when you could do that.
I was playing it at 78 speed and seeing God.
I was just playing.
Gotta use Black Sabbath
before the show with the tune that we're going to be playing later. So that's why. It was a little bit faster, and the Duke
it was
quite
cute.
Well. Yeah, the Duke quite well, so tune in for that
later on. Tune in for that, and where can people tune in?
To
Type1Radio.com.
I will just stick a link up on the Facebook and ask for people to come and join us.
Has anyone heard
the
new tune?
That's the digit one. That's the digit one for anyone new.
The number one, the numero uno one. Has anybody heard? There's a new tune. I've been listening to Six Music lately, which is a BBC alternative radio station that plays kind of groovy and old sort of stuff that was good and new stuff that was good. There's actually a tune out called We Are Now, and it's called, I don't know what it's called, but one of the lyrics goes, "We are now Type One. We are now Type One. We are now." You heard that?
No.
Yeah.
How bizarre.
It's somebody like Electronic as well. It's somebody like that, you know, one of these offshoot bands from a popular band. Offshoot band, sorry.
What, like New Order Electronic?
Yeah, like Electronic, yeah, New Order Electronic. That's Johnny Marr and Bernard Sumner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's them, but don't quote me on that. Every time I've got to write it down, I've just not been had anything in my hands I can write with. I can paint with it, but I can't write with it.
And you don't really, and you don't really
paint it on the wall.
You don't really want to be using your phone with paint all over your hands, do you?
No, I've done that already, and it's weird getting used to a smartphone and having to. Because somebody said, "Oh no, you've cracked your phone," and I went, "No, that's paint," and I thought I scraped it off.
Hey, speaking yes.
Well, I was just going to sort of open up proceedings with news on an old friend. I don't know if anybody has come across this story about Thomas Sheridan and the People's Internet Radio. It's been a while because I was going to report on it 2 weeks ago when I actually got killed. But has anybody seen it? No,
I saw something a couple of weeks ago from Thomas, a post he put up, which it was rather cutting.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's,
but you know, I think he's obviously had some, not nice dealings with them.
Yeah, well, the thing he put up, or the thing he wrote on Facebook that annoyed him, which was, he says, "What's the difference between the UN and the legal, the guys who give legal advice on people's internet radio? The UN don't ask for donations after they make you a refugee." which, if anybody knows Thomas, you know, like we do, or like anybody should do, he's a bit of a joker. And he uses humour in a way that is, you know, funny sort of thing. And, you know, he's not necessarily saying, like... Well, what he's saying with that statement is, like, yeah, you don't really know what you're fucking talking about, because a lot of people are getting harmed by following your advice, which they are.
Yeah.
So it's a fair enough thing to say, yeah, you know, people should, put more research into stuff and all the rest of it. But the email that I got from the People's Internet Radio... I think I've deleted it since, but I should have read it. But it was the most passive-aggressive thing I've ever read in my life. It was just like, really so sorry, because Thomas Sheridan's obviously had some kind of trauma in his life where somebody close to him's obviously let him down really badly and caused him to attack people who are trying to do good in the world. We wish nothing but the best for Mr. Sheridan. And all that stuff. I was thinking, fucking hell, you poor bastards. Why don't you just laugh and say, well, you know,
just tit for tat.
But he always ends, every show he ends with, if you can't take it, fuck off if you can't take a joke sort of thing. So, you know,
yeah,
listen to that instead of, you know, putting out statements like that. That's really, it's really, you know,
and also, childish. And also, that, you know, then they've obviously know Thomas's work and know how he uses humour.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's, so, yeah, my point exactly. You know, but they're obviously sort of trying to get under his skin really badly, but luckily I haven't. Well, I don't really use Facebook a hell of a lot. I mean, today was the first time in quite some time that I've actually used Facebook, so I was looking.
He's surgically skilled with the double-edged satire blade.
I think he's a McNinja in that regard. Yeah, I just thought that was a bit weird, you know, that thingy. Because, you know, they were, well, him and Sean McGuire are quite close. And he sort of mentioned a few things privately to me about people's internet radio, what it used to be. Scotland is Free, or whatever it used to be called, sort of thing, saying, you know, they've got kind of issues there, sort of thing, that they should just, you know, not bother about, because they're going to get themselves in trouble, and, you know, here they are. It's the old divide and conquer sort of thing coming into play again, I guess.
And maybe at the time when they became prevalent, there was like a vacuum that needed filling in that area, and so they, you know, took that mantle, and I suppose the same things were happening over in England and Scotland as well, you know, with people like John Harris. Well, maybe John was probably one of the first ones that was actually talking about the same subjects.
John probably was the first. I mean, he's certainly the first person I knew about that was, you know, dropping bombs about certain things.
Well, I think John's work sort of stemmed from people like Winston Shrout, you know, the American dude, taking what Winston Shrout talked about, to another level, or not necessarily another level, but just a different tangent, because even though what Winston Shrout was talking about is the same as, you know, what the people's, you know, internet and John Harris were talking about, but he wasn't really pushing any agendas.
No,
he was just he was just telling you the facts. Like, this is how the government's been screwing you. Here's the paperwork that
study it and do it for yourself. Something whereas they're sending in people to stop evictions and all the rest of it and filming it. Does seem a bit pantomime-ish sort of thing. And it is serious stuff, you know. You can't really be fucking with these people unless you really know what you're doing. You know, we called up...
Particularly in Ireland as well, because of the massive crash. And,
absolutely.
And how, you know, the prospect of eviction is really quite serious in Ireland.
Yeah, it's very real, for sure. But, so just a word of both of them, you know, Thomas can be a bit of a bit sharp with his tongue, as we've already mentioned, and the People's Internet Radio would do better than not to slag him off, sort of thing, you know, and get together and do something instead of fighting, because it's no point. You're on the same page.
And there ain't nothing that'll get up his nose quicker than that passive-aggressive thing.
That's what really got me, was the way that, you know, they almost used NLP sort of methods and the way they wanted the statement and all the rest of it sort of thing, and it was just it didn't bear well at all. And I thought Thomas's little jibe was funny because it was true.
Yeah, definitely. And topical.
And topical, yeah. So what about the topical? I see Mr. Trump's getting himself into a bit of a state of the minute out there in California. Is that what it is? Wasn't there a race riot last night or something?
Well, hasn't he got the nomination now? He's like...
He's the only one running.
All right.
Only one left.
Everybody else quit. Now, this is until the convention. If they try to do a brokered convention, then there's a possibility Cruz or Romney or Bush could come back, you know. Mm. But if he gets the 1,237 delegates, it's going to be, they're going to have to really dig into the fine print of how the Republican Party operates to even be able to slightly pull off that being legit to not give him the nomination.
I was watching something, not necessarily about this election, but I think maybe it was on John Oliver. Maybe it was about this election. The news last week, is it called? I don't know. But he was talking about how the delegate system works, where people vote for people to go to a convention to then vote for.
Right. Yeah, it's like,
what the fuck? Why don't people just vote for the guy?
Oh, you can't have that. The public is definitely not smart enough to pick a candidate. Come on. They're too busy watching the Kardashians and Honey Boo Boo.
It's Adjustment Bureau, isn't it? We gave you freedom once. We tried that once, and you blew it.
It'll be an interesting contest, you know. Saw a couple headlines discussing a possibility of a Bernie Sanders Donald Trump debate. But don't think that's actually got signed, sealed, and delivered yet.
So is it just...
Because there's nobody left to debate Trump.
Is it just Hillary and Sanders in the running?
Yeah.
So all this is basically to ensure that Hillary Clinton is going to be president.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. It looks that way. It just depends how which side of the fence you stand on. You know, there's a whole lot of Budweiser swilling toothless rednecks who are all about Trump, you know, and a great deal of the alternative media is full on Trump, you know.
But then doesn't it just come down to the electoral colleges who just decide? Isn't that what happened with Bush, Gore?
Yeah.
They just decided...
Yeah, anything stolen. So, they got Diebold voting machines now.
So there's also the...
You can't really trust your vote anyway.
Not in the least.
No, you're giving your vote to somebody else to trust with it. So that's just like, you know, here, look after this $50 million for me whilst I'm in prison kind of deal. Yeah, you ain't getting that back. It's like the clash was in San Diego yesterday. Yeah.
Cops got hurt and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
and you know, if cops were getting hurt, protesters were doing far worse.
And they keep over here, they keep mentioning the possibility of having Trump as president and Boris as prime minister.
Who?
Boris Johnson, who was the London mayor, who recently had done his time, and now a Labour guy's got in. So Boris is like this bumbling fool. He's sort of like royalty throwback.
He's terrible.
That's not
good. The thing aside, he can. The London mayor and Trump are really battling it out right now as well, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're challenging each other to an IQ test and
what have you. The new London mayor is like a Muslim guy, and so Trump said the other week that he'd make an exception to let him in, but not another Muslim.
None of his mates.
Yeah.
He doesn't even get a plus one.
Do you think that there's a quite distinct possibility if Trump gets in that Team America will become reality?
He's already talking about this.
You know, anything's possible at this point. I mean, it's really just kind of a sit back and watch like a WWF wrestling match. You know, it's just become incredibly fluffed up. You know, there's not been this much interest and this much response this early in a contest in this country long as this one mommy can remember.
Yeah. Well, look at the history. We've had the worst sort of warmongering president ever, taken over by the first ever black guy who was supposed to be, you know, the fucking guy riding in the White Horse, and he's been worse in a lot of ways.
Who got Nobel Prize, 3 weeks into office? And then,
right, just for showing up.
And then had a worse record than Bush.
Yeah. So, you know, calling in somebody like Trump's probably, you know, less of a no-brainer than it was to fucking get Obama in. You know,
there's a lot of folks that this Swami has heard in alternative media, and just the goings on, except in mainstream media, they're trashing Trump to the highest degree possible, because of course all the mainstream media is owned by the people who want Hillary in there. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're just bashing Trump and making up things that just aren't even true and misrepresenting things all the time, you know. But a lot of people are just like, well, the ones who are relatively informed and are quite aware that the Clintons are hardcore lifelong criminals with a stack of dead bodies behind them. And, you know, people are like, well, let's give Trump a shot then. Because that would be better than the warmonger Hillary Clinton, you know. Her quote, about Gaddafi in Libya. We came, we saw, he died. What?
So, if either of them get in, there is a high probability of either an assassination or an impeachment. So it'd be very interesting to see who their running mates are going to be, because it's highly likely that the vice president would actually become president by the back door.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's if we even get to November without martial law being kicked into gear for some reason.
Well,
then Obama just stays.
Yeah, I think Obama wants to. He'd probably want to, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, not really. You know, following every detail and what's going on, just in a general sense. It's just the heat has been so turned up for it being, you know, we're still the convention where it would be possible for Trump to become the actual nominee isn't till July. You know, and to have this much media attention and social uproar regarding Trump and Bernie Sanders, you know, as these, you know, completely different people that, you know, even though Bernie Sanders is a complete socialist, communist type of guy, better than Hillary Clinton, you know, and the millennials over here, the youngsters, you know, just voting age up to, you know, maybe 30 or so, are falling all over Bernie Sanders because they can't get work. I mean, this is right here where we live is a college town. This is just a little bitty 21,000 population town out in the middle of the cornfields in Illinois. And these poor kids that are going through Eastern Illinois University are going eyeball deep in debt to get a degree with which there's no job waiting in order to be able to pay that back, those student loans, you know?
Yeah, there was a story over here this week that a letter to an MP from a student went viral because he was telling his MP about his student loan, and in a year the interest on that loan had gone up by 1,800 quid. So that was just the interest. The interest monthly, just for the interest, was 180 quid.
I thought it was interest free loan.
Yeah, but they changed the terms.
Yeah, they made them real high interest now.
Because it used to be like a government department, but then the government sold it.
So
now it's a private company called the Student Loan Company. But to my mind, if they've changed the terms and conditions without actually properly informing people and getting people to re-sign contracts, without full disclosure, they're just like null and void. I just would not be paying that. I'd be sending them.
Well, that's what people are doing here.
Sending them a notice.
Trillions of dollars in default on student loans over here. I mean, because people can't get the work to pay the loan and are having to move back home with mom and dad. You know, I mean, that's just a massive situation.
That's the hoodwink, though, of it all, is that the loans are never defaulted because they're always paid when they're signed. That is the whole fucking hoodwink of banking.
And you can't through complete bankruptcy proceedings here, you don't get out of the student loan. You cannot have that taken off of you unless you are permanently disabled and completely incapable of working forever. I mean, that's the only way to get out of it. Or well, I guess if you quit breathing, they'd probably let it go. But it's just
they probably just come after your family.
Yeah, that just goes on your guarantor. Because I think we've got to sign up for our kids to be our kids' guarantors when they take their student loans out.
Are you serious?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm sure we've got to sign something, as their guardian sort of thing.
Yeah, because of the age.
Yeah, that storm's brewing and coming. It's on its way.
You can see the clouds right. Forming.
Yeah.
Hey, have we got a bong sound effect?
Yes. I don't know whether you'll be able to hear it, but here it is.
A little bit of a call back to our topics earlier discussing smartphones and such. This was a huge story that broke on Thursday, I believe. massive government study concludes cell phone radiation causes brain cancer. This is from naturalnews.com, our friend Mike Adams, the health ranger. After decades of denials and attacks by the media, which called people concerned about cell phone radiation, quote, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists, end quote. Excuse me while I adjust my tinfoil hat. A massive multi-year study funded by the federal government now concludes that, yes, cell phone radiation causes brain cancer. The study has been published. It's entitled Report of Partial Findings from the National Toxicology Program, Carcinogenesis Studies of Cell Phone Radio Frequency Radiation, blah, blah, blah. Quote, the findings, which chronicle an unprecedented number of rodents subjected to a lifetime of electromagnetic radiation, present some of the strongest evidence to date that such exposure is associated with the formation of rare cancers in at least two cell types in both the brains and the hearts of rats. That was according to the Scientific American. The researchers found that as the thousands of rats in this new study were exposed to greater intensities of RF radiation, more of them developed rare forms of brain and heart cancer that could not be easily explained away, exhibiting a direct dose-response relationship. Some of the rats had glioma, a tumor of the glial cells in the brain, or schwannoma of the heart. Furthering concern about the findings, in prior epidemiological studies of humans and cell phone exposure, both types of tumors have also cropped up as associated effects. In contrast, none of the control rats, those not exposed to the cell phone radiation, developed any such tumors. Consumer Reports also authored a story published on Yahoo Finance, which states, quote, the tumors found were gliomas in the brain and schwannomas of the heart. That same story goes on to report the current study, which found the same types of tumors in rats that the earlier epidemiological research found in humans, was a controlled clinical trial. It was specifically designed to simulate the exposure of cell phone users, and all of the important parameters were tightly controlled and carefully monitored. Rats and mice were exposed to the same kinds of radiation used in cell phones for roughly 9 hours each day, spread over the course of the day. In other words, the cell phone industry can no longer claim that it's just bad science. This is rigorous science, and it shows a clear dose-related causative link between exposure to cell phone radiation and the development of both brain and heart tumors. For decades, the government has actively conspired with the industry to downplay any evidence linking cell phones to cancer. We see this across the federal government, of course, with the EPA downplaying the risks of pesticides, the FDA downplaying the risks of pharmaceuticals, the CDC downplaying the risks of vaccines, and the USDA downplaying the risks of genetically engineered crops. The entire federal government, as it operates today, is little more than the science, propaganda, and marketing arm of private industry. in all this, the role of the government-controlled media has long been to just ridicule anyone who questions the official science propaganda on any of these topics. Think cell phones cause cancer? Well, you're a kook. Worried about fluoride in your tap water? You're a nutcase. Mercury and vaccines? You're an anti-science quack, we're told. Except that now the truth is being exposed on all these fronts. Now, even the government's own multi-million dollar study shows that cell phone radiation causes cancerous tumors, the brain, and heart. At the same time, independent science is increasingly exposing the harm of mercury in vaccines, GM crop chemicals like glyphosate, also known as Roundup, toxic pharmaceuticals, and the mass fluoride poisoning of our water supply. The CDC, for its conspiratorial part, yanked warnings about cell phone radiation from its website. It's the Ministry of Truth, don't you know? And preventing the public from learning the truth is always the Center for Disease Control's number one priority. So there it is, the science, their own science.
Well,
is in.
I don't know whether or not you've watched a documentary called Frequency, where beings of resonance, and in that it goes really deep into how radio frequencies affect the body, and particularly Wi-Fi, and it goes into like smart meters as well. But you know, the in every phone, every smartphone that's you know, out there, in the legal bit, it does have all the sort of get out clauses for them about using the phone. About how you shouldn't have it more than 6 inches next to your body. For
how are you supposed to carry?
Exactly.
That's
but
funny.
The
exactly, yeah.
The, I mean, the it does say that it's all within the guidelines of the whoever the body is that you know sorts that out. But shown in the documentary is how just like you know people like the CDC, they fudge data to suit their sponsors.
Yep.
You know. These mobile phone companies are worth fucking billions. They're easily spend a few quid on buying some scientist to say, "Oh yeah, it's fucking awesome." What I've been thinking recently is with the advent of like not only do we have smart watches, smartphones, now we've got smart watches. And
So
these are like on your wrist, like pretty much 24 hours a day. I've no idea how they charge or anything, but they are touching your skin. So whether or not, you know, they probably don't have a cell signal being bounced, but you know, if they're Bluetooth to your phone, that is sending out a frequency that is going to have a detrimental effect to your wrist. So it'd be interesting to see how many like wrist cancers,
bone cancer,
or
skin cancer, either one,
And what also this this documentary touched on was how the pineal gland sees like Wi-Fi and radio frequencies as light, and so because you know, even when you're in a pitch dark room, if there's these signals being bounced all around, your pineal gland can't release enough melatonin to be into your system, which sort of cleans up all these potentially cancerous cells, flushes them out of your body somehow. I don't know how it does that, but the melatonin is like a key, like anti-cancer system of your body, and the more we are bombarded by these types of signals, the more cancer. You know, you see how many of the people that sort of in celebrityism that have died in the first 5 months of this year. How many of them have all been cancer? It's just been cancer. And whether or not
Sheryl Crow is, I don't know if you're aware, but Sheryl Crow is dealing with brain cancer. And she's feared that it was her cell phone that did this to her, you know? And so, mentioned that this story came out Thursday. What a guess what this Swami did on Wednesday?
Get a smartphone.
Ordered the very first smartphone ever owned in this ashram. And then went, oh, well.
Mm. Well, I was given one a few months ago. I was given an iPhone, which is an iPhone 4. I use it. I've never yet, because it's got such a good speaker and mic system in it, I have yet to put it to my ear, apart from a couple of times when I've been wanting to make private calls when there's been other people around.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of my calls is now made holding it in my hand about a foot away.
Yeah.
And just press the icon, which is lots better. I don't have as much ringing in my ears as I was having with my old phone. So I'm thinking, pros and cons.
Yeah. It's a smartphone, but use it smartly.
Right.
George,
I mean,
and here this is just going to be a dumb guy with a smartphone walking around going, turn it off all the time? Then how do you get,
I don't know. That's me as well. I don't know if I'm getting smarter or dumber and dumber or smarter sort of thing. It's sort of, it's coming and going.
Use the airplane mode a lot. I do. And that turns everything.
What does that do?
It turns off all the signals.
Oh. Right.
Go ahead, baby.
What's really funny is when Swami ordered his smartphone, the stars were telling him not to because there was a major screw-up with the company he ordered it from. And even the people at the company says, we've never seen this happen before.
There was a glitch, and the payment didn't go through.
And he went ahead and ordered it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then to see this story come out and go, oh, well, glad I've got Shaktipat on my side.
Yeah. I'm glad there's a better place to go to after this. Which, it's quite funny. Considering, we went to see Rupert Sheldrake. Fychik and I went on Sonic's behalf to see Rupert Sheldrake give a talk last week.
Yeah.
Was it last week?
Yeah.
That was one of his... He was very funny. It was packed, yeah. It was sold out. We had one ticket and we turned up and we went to purchase another one and they said, sorry, no, it's sold out. And we both went, really?
Phi had to sit on your shoulders?
So Phi had the ticket, yeah. But then an old friend, a guy who's been on Type 1, actually, a guy called Ian.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a friend of ours. He turned up and he said, oh, don't worry, my friend's running this event. I'll get you in, don't worry. So, of course, we should have worried because, Ian's not all he seems sometimes. But, we
didn't have the juicy money at him.
we were there, there was many, many people getting into, it was kind of bottlenecked into, it's a theatre that's in a tent, like a marquee, like a big top on. Well, it's a small big top that it's in. It's the best way to describe it.
It's called the Spiegel tent.
It was the theatre. It wasn't the Spiegel tent. What, there's three tents in the Spiegel area.
Oh, right, okay.
And this theatre part of it, which has got a different name, but it is in the Spiegel sort of set up sort of thing. And but this is the theatre part of it. And basically, Ian gave me his credit card because the stub that you get the tickets with, the credit card receipt part of it is the same as the tickets. So it looks like another ticket, yeah? So I went up and I said, oh, here's my ticket. And the young lady on the door went, no, that's a credit card receipt. Where's your ticket? And I said, oh, I must have left it. I must have left it at the box office. Let me go back and check. And she went, I'll just stand there for a minute because there were so many people. And in the Malay, I just swept in, sat down
done.
And I had a cocktail. I had a bourbon cracker cocktail, which was it's just basically crushed ice. Most of it's crushed ice, and I basically drank it in one sort of sup through the straw, and put it down on sitting next to the sound desk, and I put it down, and the fucking thing fell into the sound desk. It was like, oops, sorry. Not to the sound desk, but his chair he was sitting on. So yeah, quite amazing. But Mr. Sheldrake came on and he spoke about, you know, the way you should live your lives and all the rest of it sort of thing. But he did start off with something you said a second ago about you know, cell phones were all going to die, but there's somewhere else to go. Well, he opened up his thing saying that he used to be an atheist. And he joined like all the atheist groups at university and all that, and he decided that they were no fun because there's nothing to look forward to. you're gonna have to excuse me one second. There's a phone, right? I'll be back in a minute.
Speaking of smartphones, yeah. wow.
Yeah, I'm just gutted that I wasn't able to go to that. But duty called. But I did get the audio book of Rupert's book. I think it's called the Science Delusion.
The Science Delusion.
Yeah.
I'm back. Hey, you never guess what that call was.
What?
Somebody wants to buy some Argonite.
Cool.
Fucking really? How's that? Wow. Yeah. Weird.
They want you to cut your guitar apart? How's that project?
Well, it's kind of on hold because I've just been so busy and things have just, life's got...
Understood.
I did intend to go start today, but it rained, so I didn't.
Yeah, it was thundering, wasn't it?
It was fucking horrible. It was like Armageddon earlier, wasn't it? It was like, oh my God.
And then
I just heard this crack thundering all of a sudden.
And then later in the afternoon, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, then it got really hot and I fell asleep, so it was like, oh, right. This is my, I don't know if you remember the show a year ago today. No?
No.
It was my birthday.
Is it your birthday today?
It's my birthday on Monday, but we did a show on my birthday last year, remember? We cracked some champagne. And...
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But this is a long weekend over here for us.
Happy birthday.
It's May bank holiday, so I'm having a long weekend off, and all my family are on holiday in different parts of the world. And I'm here on my own, so I was having a nice quiet day. So I was going to do some Argonite making. So that's just weird. This guy's phoned up and said, have you got any for sale? And I was like,
well, there's a bit of a nudge.
I went into a shop. There's a new sort of crystal-y shop in town, in the lanes. And I want to inquire about whether or not, or why they didn't sell Argonite. We've got all these crystals. I asked this girl, that she was like, talk to him. I don't understand why they don't sell Argonite, those shops, because it like go way off the shelves.
Well, if somebody had the patience to make nice Argonite, like unlike the stuff I make, you know, it could do well. But yeah, I've never seen it around either. Quite an odd. And I ask everywhere. I always ask people, anyone who's got sort of, you know, that strikes up a conversation with something that the likes of us could get involved with, I immediately ask them about Organite, and they always go, hey, what's that? I'm like, oh, okay. Here we go again. Explain. But, yeah.
The only time that's happened is Graham Hancock last year. He was a guy started talking about Organite, and he makes it.
Right.
Yeah, he lives here.
Yeah. If I didn't get myself in such a seat at Rupert Sheldrake, I was going to ask him about Organite sort of thing. Because he's, you know, he talks about doing, what's his thing again?
Molecular biology?
It's not molecular resonance, it's thingy, but anyway, I was going to ask him a question about Organite, but I didn't get asked. It was all the fucking usual. Well, Ian asked a question about John Allegro, and he went, I read that book, but I didn't like it. It was a load of shit. Basically. Yeah, I'm still
Wasn't
struggling.
Wasn't Rupert in Don Peyote?
No.
Say again?
Oh, I don't know. Was Rupert Sheldrake in Don Peyote?
Rupert,
he well have been, yeah. He
I think
well
Rupert
been, yeah.
was in Don Peyote with
Yeah, he, well, he knows all that. Yeah. He knows Jennifer Saunders, and he knows...
Yeah, he was in Time Is Art.
Daniel Pinchbeck. He knows Daniel Pinchbeck, I know that for sure, because he's been in loads of fucking documentaries. They've been, you know, commenting on stuff.
Wasn't he in Sync Book 2? He was, wasn't he?
No.
Are you sure?
No. No, he's definitely not in Sync Book 2. Alan asked him, and he writes for, you know, he writes for a living, so he's like, well, where's the money? And he's like, I don't think I've got any money. And then he was just like, I've got Sync Book 2 in front of me, and he's definitely not in that.
Well, maybe he's just been on 42 minutes.
He's been on 42 minutes, yeah. He's definitely been, he's definitely had a Sync Book connection. Well, he knows Jennifer.
Yeah.
Quite well. And but he was saying some really funny things about old God Delusion, mate.
Richard Dawkins, yeah.
Richard Dawkins, yeah.
He doesn't like him, does he?
They hate each other, yeah. But it's turned out that Dawkins is wrong and he's right sort of thing. And it's like, he's going, yeah, well, I don't really like to sort of gloat or talk about it, but here I am doing it. A really big laugh. It was quite good sort of thing. But, yeah, he was really good. He's quite sort of down to earth because he was talking about his first section was about morphic resonance, as his thing,
yeah.
Which is synchronicity and a scientific sort of explanation of it, I guess. But he was talking about his first sort of thing was about meditation. And this is when he mentioned how he used to be an atheist and now he's not because, you know, you've got nothing to look forward to if you're an atheist, basically. This is it, you know, fucking bastard. You know, this pile of shit that we're living through right now is all you've got if you're an atheist. But if you fall, you don't have to necessarily believe in God to not be an atheist. You have to sort of, you know, believe in something. And his first thing was about meditation and how that, two of the most prominent people who advocate meditation, both transcendental and other methods, are both president of the Atheist Society.
Are you serious?
That got a fucking huge laugh as well. And he's going, yeah, yeah, these people don't believe there's anything else, but they believe that the inner, you know, you're talking to your inner self and all the rest of that sort of thing without, you know, having any kind of esoteric
without the dogma.
Sort of, without the dog, exactly, yeah. So, and also, the Archbishop of Canterbury is a big meditator, and you know he converses with these people, so he has
is that the bastard Archbishop of Canterbury?
No, the one before.
Oh, what, Carey?
Because he's actually Carey, yeah, because
not Carey.
Well, he knows Carey because
he's the other
one.
No, Carey's not the guy with the beard, isn't it?
It's the one who's the doctor.
Yeah.
Because he was saying he's had and you know, he's had biological chats with this guy because he's actually a doctor. You know, I think he studied medicine before he went into theology and became an archbishop. So I think, but it was quite interesting the way he was put. You know, meditation can be many things. You can either do it as a Swami does, or as you know, just in yourself. I mean, just sitting contemplating something can be, you know, loosely termed as meditation sort of thing. And it's, you know, it's surprising how many people do it and don't realize they're doing it.
Sure.
Where they should, you know, develop some kind of methodology into doing it sort of thing. And he actually said, can I get a show of hands on people who we met who have or, you know, done meditation in any kind of form? And just about everybody went put their hands up sort of thing. So it's quite funny.
There you go.
What was the next thing he was talking about was pilgrimage. And how, you know, pilgrimage used to be something where you made a pilgrimage is the word. When you go and what's it called when you pilgrim to something like Mecca? Is there another word for that?
Pilgrimage. I mean, that's
yeah, it's a pilgrimage.
Put forth
yeah.
an enormous focused effort on arriving at a place or to a person. Or a location of some historical event, in order to get yourself closer to where you feel there's access to source or a higher consciousness experience. You know.
Yeah. But he said, "Well, people, you know," he said that you know, in days of yore, the spiritual leaders would encourage you to make pilgrimage to certain places and sort of thing. And then in the modern world, the basic the sort of fucking powers that be turned that word into tourism. So now you make a pilgrimage to somewhere for no other reason other than to sit in a bar and get drunk or to sort of sit on the beach and do nothing sort of thing. They've actually taken away this, you know, act and put it in a commercial sort of terms. And so, you know, pilgrimage is now called tourism sort of thing, and it's got absolutely no spiritual value at all. Although you do feel refreshed after a holiday, supposedly.
But it's the intent has been taken out of it. There's been switched, reframed.
Yeah.
You go in there. You go in there not necessarily to witness, you know, a beautiful church.
Or look at
a
deity or.
Yeah, yeah.
He says it's even becoming so bad that when people go to places like cathedrals and wats and temples you know the other places where the Muslims go, what are they called? Synagogues. he said they don't. Yeah, yeah. I'm apologize to all the religious people listening. But they go in and there's a fucking collection plate there. You know, you have to sort of, you're obliged to give money sort of thing. But what they don't sort of make a point is telling you to light a candle or light a Jaws or something, you know. Go there and actually use the place for what it's for. Don't go and just look at it, you know. Don't go and just fucking visit it and tick that one off the list. You know, I've been to Notre Dame, I've been to, blah, blah, blah.
Experience
or whatever sort of
experience
it, he said. Yeah, he gave us quite eloquent little sort of talk on how he's got this godson who's he's really close to, and he says he's really just really sick of giving people stuff for birthdays and what have you these days. You know, he says if you give people stuff, all it does is it gets used for a while, then it goes into a charity shop or it goes in the trash or whatever sort of thing. So giving out experiences is a lot better. And he said he said to his godson, he said, for your birthday this year, I'd like to take you on a pilgrimage to Canterbury. He said, we'll get the train to such and such, and then we'll walk like 7 miles to this cathedral, this Canterbury Cathedral.
Wow.
And he said he was really like nervous about doing this with this, you know, this obviously little flashy 17-year-old who's constantly on his cell phone, whatever sort of thing.
Sure.
But he said that actually the pair of them had the best day they've had together ever sort of thing, and they now do it as a ritual every year.
Yeah, because they're connected.
Excellent.
Yeah, they're connected. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing he was talking about was rituals. So it was meditation, rituals, and pilgrimages. You know, how all these words meant something years ago and now they don't, because they're not used for what they were originally sort of designed for. So, yeah, you know, it was a really good talk. Really, you know, it was over before we knew it. It was one of those ones where he just sort of came up and spoke and before you knew
that's why I thought I'd get the book, because that's like 12 hours of, and it's him talking. It's him narrating it.
The book was there for sale. We thought about getting it, but it was like flies around a shit after us sort of thing, and we just bailed.
Well, I've got Audible, so I get like a free credit every month.
Right.
So that was this month.
Oh.
Right, we're sort of coming to the end of this hour of the show. I reckon we should play this tune by Freeman. Maybe we should just keep going, because that's longer than we've got left. We'll play that a bit.
We've got a different tune for play out.
Okay, well, let's talk, and then we'll play at the start of the next bit.
Are you prepared for our public service announcement?
Yes, but that's at the end of the show, is it?
No. This is for everyone's best interest. This is a type1radio.com public service announcement.
Okay, well, let's have a bong.
Oh, well, sure.
Okay, let's go for...
What to do if you've consumed too much cannabis? In all areas of life, it is possible to have too much of a good thing. When cannabis is the good thing you've had too much of, you may experience several rather unpleasant sensations. Although the cannabis itself won't kill you, since it's impossible to overdose on cannabis, if you've taken too much, either recreationally or for medical reasons, you can experience effects like dizziness, sweating, nausea, and a sense of panic. This usually happens when eating cannabis, as opposed to smoking or vaping it, because the cannabis effects in edibles take longer to kick in, which means you can eat too much at one sitting, thinking it's not having an effect, then the effects kick in and it's too late. So, what can you do if you realize you've taken too much? First, don't panic. Avoid driving, operating heavy equipment, or doing similar tasks. Many in this situation suggest simply going to bed and sleeping it off. Now, see, that's where the difference between if you've overconsumed a sativa versus an indica, because the indica is just going to put you to sleep anyway. And the sativa is much more likely to give you the anxiety and panic. Others suggest eating something really quickly, like a glass of milk or some cookies. Black pepper and lemon peel or lemonade is said to counter the effects. CBD-rich products like tinctures and patches also have a history of counteracting unwanted psychoactive effects of THC. Stay hydrated, drink plenty of water. What's that?
I can vouch for the CBDs.
Remember, researchers have never been able to cause death in any animals being experimented on, trying to determine a lethal dose. Scientists have not been able to determine how much is deadly, so the only thing that'll kill you is if you engage in irresponsible behavior, such as driving. That is your Type 1 Radio public service announcement.
Perfect. And
we'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back. So I'll put the tune on at the start of the next section.
Right.
See you in a moment.